Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved brethren, we are celebrating the forefathers of the Mother of God. It's always celebrated two Sundays before the actual Nativity of Christ, and one Sunday before is going to be the Fathers. So the forefathers is considered, as we heard yesterday in all night vigil, starting from Adam, and then of course Abel, who was killed by his brother, and then listing big list of all the forefathers, and including even the two that were taken to the heaven, Enoch and Elijah, that they were taken alive to heaven. And my beloved, we have to recognize that they become forefathers because of their faith, because they really believed that there will come the Savior, the Messiah is going to save them from the curse of breaking God's law. Remember when God had given the first law to Adam and Eve, he said not to touch from this, not to eat from this fruit of knowledge of difference between good and evil. And of course, as you know, from the Bible, that Eve was tempted by the snake, and she accepted it. She didn't listen to the Lord, and she had taken and eaten the fruit and gave it to her husband, and he did also. So they both fell, and they did not repent. They blamed, Adam blamed the wife, that it was her fault, but he said in such a way that actually it's like saying that it's God's fault, because he made the Eve from his rib, and so if he didn't have Eve, he would not have broken the law. Well, and she blamed the snake, and of course it was the devil, and the thing is, none of them at that point repented and asked forgiveness of God. And if they would have asked forgiveness, probably God would not have thrown out of the Garden of Eden. But because they didn't, they showed already pride, and they had to go and start working in the sweat of the brow to make their living and to try to work at their salvation and clean their hearts and learn to love the Lord. Well, all the prophets, and Abraham, as you know, that he had been such a host, he loved every stranger, he would treat them as royalty, and one day the Lord appeared to him in the form of three angels and promised him that he is going to be, through his seed there will be the multitude as the sand in the sea, or the stars, there will be people that are going to be born. And then the Holy Father explained to us, it's the faith that he had. The faith that he had we have to learn to acknowledge and to believe in our Messiah, and in the Lord who came here to save us, which is going to be about two weeks from now. There will be the Lord. We remember how he came to this earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, and there was no place for him to go except to put it in a cave and in a manger. He went through all kinds of dishonor and persecution, right? As even a baby, Herod wanted to kill him, and he had to flee the country and lived in the country for several years, and then he came back, and then he preached. He was working as a regular carpenter's son, is working to make a living. And then when he become of age, when at that time by the law, at the age of 30, they considered you being mature and you could start to be preaching or teaching somebody. And that's what he did. He waited until that time to come out to the people. And then of course, you know how he showed his greatest humility was that he allowed him to be taken prisoner and to finally put to death, and the worst death that there was at that time, most humiliating death. Before that, though, before he went to be crucified, he heard the disciples that they were arguing who's the youngest, because when they had a feast, then the youngest one had to wash the feet. And so the Lord took off his upper robe and belted himself with the towel and went and washed all the feet of all the disciples, including Judah, who had betrayed him, who had sold him out. My beloved, this is what he's trying to teach us, the Lord, to go on the road of humility. What happens to us? Well, we heard today's gospel, and today's gospel, and what did they say in today's gospel? The Lord said that he made a big feast, and he sent his servants to say that the feast is already come, and and enjoy it. And he invited them, but everyone had some excuse they couldn't do it. One said, I bought a village or a couple of villages and I have to go and see what I got. The other one, I bought 5 pairs of oxen. And another one said, I just got my, and I have to go try them out. Another one said, I just got myself a wife and I can't come. And none of those whom the Lord had called initially wanted to come. So the Lord said, well, go to the streets and get the poor people and the lame and the ones that are blind and so on. Bring them and fill my house. Well, what is the feast? What was he offering? Well, the Holy Fathers explained to you, it's like the Lord offering himself to us. That's the greatest feast that we can ever have, is to receive the body and blood of the Lord, the communion. And how many times you and me and other people, that we say we're too busy and we can't prepare ourselves, and how many times that even when we have the opportunity, we don't come often. Yet Father John of Kronstadt was saying, in my life in Christ, he's saying, by the end of the day, I'm so exhausted, I can't wait until I receive again the help from my Lord to receive communion the next day. In the old Russia, there was a federal law, or the government law, that those who worked in the government and the Orthodox, they had to bring a proof that they went to communion, confession, once a year. And then it went to our greatest regret. Many people picked that up as that's the way to go, but that's not the way to go. You have to receive communion at least once every Lent. We have 4 of them, and during the Great Lent it would be great to have at least twice to receive. Then on your names, on the big holidays and so on, we should receive, but we should prepare for it and don't have any excuses like those who were called before and saying that we are busy, we have this, we have that, we can't prepare, we can't fast, and all that. This is all offensive to the Lord, because he loves us. He gives himself to us to replenish us, to revive us, to make us new persons, and not the old man. The old man who is always dragging us down to the earth, so that we will be involved in the temporary things, and especially in the pleasures of our body, to sort us the temporary. The old man who wants us to please ourselves or our body, and that's what the Lord calls us to do. The Lord tells us to please the Lord, to look for his will, not for our will, and to try to please your neighbor, and to try to help your neighbor in every way possible. by giving them, of course, example, first of all, and second of all, if you have to teach them, make sure you do it according to the scripture. In the scripture, the apostle says that even the elders, when they reprove somebody and correct somebody, they have to do it in the spirit of humility. Because if you don't have the spirit of humility and you approach somebody to try to correct them with anger, and if they don't have that deep humility, they will immediately be stirred up and they'll start to hate you. They will not listen to you. You have to do it in the spirit of humility. And then talking about humility, you know, there is no way we can ever be able to fly into the kingdom of heaven without the humility. And we need the humility to pray. And we need the fasting to pray. And it's like the Holy Father said it. It's like a bird with one wing. They will never get off the ground. You have to have two wings. And the two wings is, of course, the first one, you have to have the ability to fly. And the tools for the flying, the ability is the humility. And the humility and the wings are the fasting and the prayer. You cannot be with only one wing. It is not going to get you any place to heaven. But that's what we want to head for, all of us. Well, let's pray more to the holy fathers, forefathers of the Mother of God, because she was the one that the Lord used to be born here on earth. As you know, he was born of the Father before all ages, and but he came here because his Father, and he loves us so much, he couldn't stand us being tortured by the enemy all the time, fooled to do all kinds of terrible things, to go against the Lord's teachings. And most of all, of course, he wanted to prove his love to us. In the Old Testament, he was showing miracles and reprimanding or chastising people with all kinds of things. But they never could really learn to love the Lord, as you know. They were clinging to the temporary life. They were not looking, except for the forefathers and then the prophets and the saints, the rest of the people, most of them, they're just looking for a temporary, how to survive, how to live better and so on. Well, that's why they rejected the Lord when he came, when he tried to preach them and tell them about the kingdom of heaven and prepare them to live here in such a way so as to make it the kingdom of heaven. And he showed and said that the kingdom of heaven is taken by force, and only those who exert themselves and only those that you go on the narrow, thorny pathway, that will lead to the kingdom of heaven. That means in sorrows, through sicknesses, through the bad times in this earth. This is what helps us to make it to heaven. When you wind up to be on a wide road where everything goes, everything the way you want, and you have nobody pricks you, and you have and everything goes smooth and so on, well, that's not the road that's going to lead you to the kingdom of heaven. So let's remember that. Let's understand that our teaching is to take up the cross, that the Lord said, to take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. This is what we have to do, deny ourselves, deny the wants and the passions of ourselves. So this is what we heard in the gospel, in the epistle today, that we have to be denying ourselves, and the old man. The old man has to be put down, because we have to be have the greatest honor to become the vessel of the Holy Spirit, and that's what all the saints have done. They become vessels of the Holy Spirit, and let's pray to them more often try to put more effort to go in that narrow, thorny way that will lead us to the kingdom of heaven through humility, through love, and develop the love for the Lord and the love for each other. As Apostle John, the apostle, he is nicknamed as Apostle of Love, the theologian, as he said, if you say you love God but you don't love your neighbor, you're a liar. You're lying. So we have to remember that Lord not only told you to love your neighbor as yourself, but he also says to love your enemy. Are you praying for your enemies? Are you praying for your neighbor, your loved ones? Well, the true love is only measured, it should be measured by how much prayer we do for our loved ones. So let's intensify that, because that's the one greatest in the helping we can give them to make it the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord give us the wisdom and the faith that we needed, and to develop the faith we must study the scripture, we must read the lives of saints, we must read My Life in Christ by St. John of Corinth, and of course the gospel and the epistle and all the holy fathers. And how often do you do that? How often do I do it? Well, not too often. To my great sorrow as a priest, I have to say, I don't see many people that once in a while pick up the holy books, and yet they should do it on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we should study. For St. John Chrysostom says, you cannot be saved unless you study the Holy Scriptures. And that's what we have to do. Study it and then put it into heart and try to live according to the gospel. Amen.